Good morning, rise and shine. It is Tuesday, April the 14th, in the year of our Lord 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. So, we've got good work to do today. Jesus is ready to meet with us. He's been up. Not sure he slept. Glad he let us sleep. But we reset. There's a new day ahead of us. There's all the possibilities of God in front of us for this day. So let's just begin in his presence, in this meeting together, consecrating ourselves unto him. It's Taco Tuesday. There's also that to look forward to. I'm going to be in Franklin, Tennessee. I'm here all week and looking forward to getting some tacos around here somewhere today. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, this prayer is a simple prayer, it's a deep prayer, but it opens, it walks us through a doorway. You know, there's multiple ways to get into today. There's a lot of different doors. There's the door of my to-do list. There's the door of my phone. There's the door of the anxiety or the depression that I'm carrying. There's the door of, like, I'm late for work and I got to get in the car and get the coffee and go. I get it. We all go through all those doors from time to time, but the most important door, the best door into today, is the door called Jesus. It's the door called consecration. He's like, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice, open that door. I'm coming through. Let's go into today through that door. We just did it. That's what that prayer does. Heart, mind, sight, attention, eyes, body. Guys, we're waking up to Jesus today. Thanks for being with me. Today's entry is entitled, Why We Must Understand the Real Problem. Our text, Ephesians chapter 2. We're into the next chapter, 2 of 6. We've covered 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. And just open your heart. Let these words, like seeds, get sown into your heart. These are the seeds of the word of God. No more powerful thing in the universe. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The Bible all at once possesses an astonishing ability to be both clear and complex. Like a good Easter egg hunt, one can always find a lot of eggs in plain view. Other eggs are more hidden, but often in places we would expect to find them. The prize eggs tend to require more careful searching. Let's be clear, though. that while much of Scripture's meaning may be hidden from plain sight, none of it is secret. Beware of interpreters and teachers who boast of cracking some kind of secret spiritual code when it comes to the Bible. Beware also of teachers who try to undermine the plain meaning of the text by attacking its historicity, its authorship, and its core theological underpinnings. The best way to delve beneath the surface of the text is to ask the text good questions. For instance, in today's text, we might ask, who is the devil? Watch out for modern experts who would label this as ancient mythology, suggesting there is no devil, all the while acting as his unwitting agents to undermine the very source from which we would be warned of his presence. We're going to come back to the devil in chapter 6 of Ephesians. The best interpreters of Scripture tend to be those who ask the best questions. Albert Einstein once famously said, "If I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on the solution, I would spend the first 55 minutes determining the proper question to ask. For once I know the proper question, I could solve the problem in less than 5 minutes." The big questions I propose for today are, what problem is Paul identifying? And whose problem is it? Is it a behavioral problem? Or is it deeper than that? Is the problem caused by our exposure to some toxic contaminant? Or is it something we were born with? Is it a problem that some people have and others don't? If everyone has the problem, do some people have it worse than others? Can people have the problem and not know it? Can the problem be solved? Is it a problem for Jews, Gentiles, or both? If all you had was this scrap of the following revealed text, how would you answer these questions? It will be hard, but for the purposes of this assignment, do not import any other evidence or prior understandings or teachings or experience other than the following words. Hear them again. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. On your mark, get set, go. Sometimes it's good to ask challenging questions of ourselves and each other. Here's a good one. Am I dealing with the symptoms of the problem, or am I attacking the problem itself? We tend to live at the level of our behaviors, which are themselves symptomatic of a deeper problem. Sinful behavior is a symptom. Our sinful nature is the problem. Asking these kinds of questions invites us to delve deeper than our behavioral management strategies and into the nature of the problem itself to understand just how deeply we are affected and infected. This paves the way for the cure to deepen in us. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Savior, who can solve the problem. Because we can be confident in his salvation, we can have courage to understand our problem. Grace us with the self-knowledge to understand how the problem is actually our problem. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. The journal prompts. How do you understand the problem Paul identifies in this text? How would you describe the interplay between our sinful nature, our disobedience, and the devil? Third, does your sinful nature continue to rule your life? How might this be overcome? All right, there's a lot there. If you were with us back in the Jesus Asking series through Lent, preceding this one, we dove in on this pretty hard, talking about sickness and symptoms and treating the symptoms versus treating the sickness. These themes, though, they keep coming. Some people say, why do you keep repeating yourself? I'm like, because the Bible keeps repeating itself. This is the same story. It keeps coming around because it takes us a while to get this. You know, we're going to sing in a minute. And my dad's with me on the singing today, and we're going to sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin, right? We're talking about the cure here, not the over-the-counter medication. We're talking about the deep medicine, the blood of Jesus. This is a big problem. It requires a big solution. But I was thinking also about this great hymn from Charles Wesley. It's called Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And one of the verses says, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. That little line there, he breaks the power of canceled sin. You see, so many people, I know it because I've lived it. The blood of Jesus cancels sin. You receive Jesus, your sins are forgiven, they're canceled. And so many of us stop right there. I call that the first half of the gospel. The second half of the gospel is he actually, you see, canceled sin still kind of retains a rogue power. He breaks that power. He actually, not only does he cancel the penalty of sin, he breaks the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion. And that's what Paul's going to be trying to get across to us in this letter. Like, you're free. Get out of that jail cell. It's not locked anymore. You're still sitting in there. You're still sitting in grave clothes. You are alive. You are free. Get up. Go out. The power of sin is broken, but you have to move. You have to move by faith and exercise that power that he's given you. So many of us, I ask that question about sin patterns we're stuck in. Okay, this is the holy discontent I'm talking about yesterday. Waking up to the more that Jesus is bringing. Good gracious. We have just stayed in the shallow end too long, friends. It's time to get in the deep end pool. All right, you ready to sing? I am. Let's go. All right. We're ready to sing today. You ready?
I'm ready, brother.
Tell them what we're going to sing.
We're going to sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. No, Nothing But the Blood is the name of it.
What is the number?
485.
485. This is a classic hymn. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good, brother.
And we're talking today in the wake-up call about why we must understand the real problem. And the real problem is sin and death. We don't just have some little problems around the edges. We got a core problem, the sin that keeps us from God. And that's why a hymn like this was written. What can wash away my sin? Can trying harder?
No. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Right. What can make me whole again? Is that a new diet plan or a new self-help program?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's what I want us to think about as we're singing this song today. We have a serious problem.
Repentance and cleansing.
But we have an even more serious solution. It was very costly, the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And he makes it completely free. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Getting that microphone for me, Dad. Number two.
For my hardness I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Number four.
This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's pretty plain, isn't it?
That's right down to the point.
That's pretty plain. And everything else is just, I'd call it over-the-counter medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real prescription, isn't it?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's the real cure. And I just want to encourage anybody here listening, stop trying fake solutions.
Right.
Stop trying all the things that you can do. I love that last verse. He says, this is all my righteousness. All the right that we try to do is rags. That's how the Bible talks about it. Filthy rags, in fact. That's self-righteousness, self-directed effort. Self cannot help. We need a Savior. And we have a Savior.
We've got it. We just got to look for him.
We've got him. We just got to say, Jesus, come in and save me. Not just a little bit, but completely.
That's right.
You know, Jesus will save you from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, judgment. But he keeps on going. He'll actually save you from the power of sin. Did you discover that when you met Jesus that you started to actually become better?
Just by one move.
You became
a different person.
A different person. That's what we're saying. You don't have to keep sinning. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes, but you're not destined to sin.
No, you don't have to sin.
You don't have to sin anymore. Before, you couldn't help it. Now you've got the power.
You had, and it's hard for a lot of people because they got a bad habit.
Yes.
Of saying things they don't really mean, but they've said them. So
Jesus can help you with that, can't he?
You just trust him, and you read the Bible,
and you know what,
and say your prayers.
And some people are like, I can't take it back. I already said it. You know what you can say after that? I'm sorry.
Right.
You can apologize. You can receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
Be wiped away. And then you can move and you can begin to say things that you never imagined you could say
before.
That's
right.
Words of blessing, words of life, words of hope. Anyhow, you get the point. Jesus will save you completely. It's time to let these folks get out in their day now, Dad. So for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you
on the field.
See you on